Well, hello and welcome to After the Sermon. I am Tammy DeLau and I am joined here today with Bill Leonardson. He is one of our elders, and Pastor David Baxley, who will be giving us our sermon on the 16th, on this Sunday. We are deep into John chapter 8 right now. We started last week with the favorite story, the woman caught in adultery and no one casting that stone. Wrestled the tension with that, seeing that we need to live a lifestyle of repentance. And we get to do a little more tension today. Mm-hmm. So here we go.
Yes, interesting. Okay. Even our preaching team this week, I was sharing how, you know, last week was a heavy message and it was hard and wrestling with I feel like last week we took a beautiful story and almost kind of said that it's actually a really, really hard story at the same time. And this week we're coming into that same idea and now taking another beautiful idea of belief. And yet about to hear a really hard challenge from Jesus on that. And we're closing with where we were last week. Jesus gives this incredible message, essentially wrestling with what does it really mean to walk in the light, go and sin no more, repentance. We talked about that. And where we ended last week was John chapter 8, verse 30. And it says, as he was saying these things, many believed. If you look in the previous chapter, he's arguing with the Pharisees. Now it says, and to the Jews who believe. So it's like he's having this argument with the Pharisees. Everyone's kind of listening to it. What's going on? What he's saying? There's like these crowds like watching this. Jesus is teaching. And then the people are hearing him. They're like, okay, I can buy into this, right? The Pharisees aren't necessarily saying that. So now he's turning his attention to the people who are now saying, all right, we're with Jesus. We're with him. All right, we're with you. We're not with these Pharisees guys anymore. Mm-hmm. And so he's saying, all right, if you really believe. And that's one thing I want us to look at as we go through this, whether it's in this today, listening on Sunday, or you're reading yourself in your grow groups, whoever's listening to this, to look how many times Jesus makes if statements. The title of this message is If You Really Believe. Because I believe what Jesus is about to do is say, all right, you claim to believe. Now let's see if you really are who you claim to be.
So it's almost like an if-then statement.
He's going to hit. I circle alone right here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 if-then statements that Jesus makes just in this, and we won't even be able to get to all of them, but that he just makes in this. But it's all in the tension of, I think, beginning with, if you believe, then, and then things that overflow from that. Because Bill, you were bringing up that whole same tension as well when we were chatting in beforehand. I thought that'd be a good place to start.
Well, Tammy said we're deep into John 8, so I have to say this at the beginning. You said we were deep into and we are. Mm-hmm. I don't disagree. Mm-hmm. But if we go deep into chapter 8, we're going to camp out there until the grass turns green.
That's so true.
Because I was telling you earlier, David, that you know I started working on this, and I've got 2 pages of notes in the first 4 verses.
There is
many, many avenues of, and you talk about a hard truth last week. What did you say at the beginning?
A hard teaching last week.
I think it's a difficult teaching, we have to understand who the judge is and when that, what that final judgment looks like versus what life on this earth for us now looks today. But in this passage, there's a ton of tension because, and maybe angst on the part of the readers. Because this really goes to what do you believe, and if you believe, then what? And what do we see? And at the beginning, the scripture says, and they believe. Well, where I have a lot of notes is, what does that belief look like? You know, what do they really believe? And for me, what does that belief look like? Is that just that knowledge, or is there in... And I think I'm correct in saying, you know, at the beginning, if you stopped after that verse, you'd go, great, Jesus came in and he did this thing and he put the Pharisees to shame, and look at all the believers.
Look at all the people that got saved.
All the people got saved. You know, we come to church on Sunday. We have a great message. Look at all the people that got saved. You know, where do we go? Were they really? And how do I know if they're really? And,
well, how do I help them know if they're really?
So I think it looks like, at first glance, it looks like there's two camps. There's the believe, you don't believe. And so when you were saying, well, they don't believe the Pharisees, it was like a light bulb moment, like, oh, They don't believe them, so they think they believe Jesus. Mm. But the whole, if you you truly believe, there, it's like there's maybe three camps. There's the, I absolutely don't believe. I know I don't believe the Pharisees. Jesus looks like maybe I want to believe, and I actually believe what Jesus is saying. So it does look like there's possibly three camps, not as clean cut as we want it to look.
Well, I think it's a good example, too, is we talk about the tension that often is that comes might in like an incomplete gospel, or is that the gospel of Jesus? Like, so, you know, and we mentioned this before in other podcasts or even other messages, like good news versus bad news, right? If you really want to accept the good news, you have to acknowledge the bad news. So if you want to really, you know, whatever all these tensions might be, I think what happens is you have people that like, well, they like pieces of Jesus. And that's just where they stop.
The pieces they like.
The pieces they like. And so what are they really believing in? I think that's where we may come here. They're like, oh man, we like this guy who's saying, I've got the message. I've got what these guys don't have. Great. We're going to go with what he says. And that's what we're going to claim to be a part of.
And they may even like have not appreciated the Pharisees. So just like seeing someone put them in their place. You know, does, you know?
Because if you took away, I'm going to go with like kind of a Bill Wars going to. If you took away verse 30, or even and verse 33, all right. So let's take this phrase of anything has to do with belief, and then you read the rest of the text, you would think he was talking to a bunch of people that were anti-Jesus. You would think you were talking to a bunch of people that were like, what are you talking about? They begin to argue with him. Like, what are you talking about, Jesus? Yeah. We're so good. Don't you know how good we are? Oh, you have a demon in you. What? You're like a Samaritan. Like, they're just kind of going after this guy. They start insulting him. They call him names. They like, it gets petty. It gets silly. And then, as Tammy, you pointed out so well, and at the very end, they're like, let's stone him. You know who says let's stone him? The people that said they believed. Like, this is the tension of this text.
You know, what is it? 30 to 46? Is that the last verse in the passage? Or 49?
59.
59. Okay, 59.
Yep.
I knew there was a number in there somewhere.
Good job.
So we go from believing,
yep.
and Jesus said, no, you don't, by the end of the passage. So what happened between 30 and 59?
Well, and how about you go from, you're Abraham's descendants, to, oh, no, you're not his children. There's, I mean, like, this is a hard, you feel like you're, like you're playing a ping pong.
And then the very last one, and not only are you not Abraham's children, you're actually...
Sons of Satan.
Right. You're Satan's children.
Yeah, but see how they see themselves up, because we go from they believed, okay, and I'm losing my thought here. They went from they believed, and so I think what the Pharisees are going, we like what he's teaching, and I'm from Abraham. I'm done. I'm done.
Like Mike Drop.
I got it. Mike Drop.
So let's look at that first one, because you mentioned the first four verses, and I think this is where I think the whole tone of all this begins with. So Jesus says in verse 31, to those who believed, if you continue in my word, you are really my disciples. Verse 32, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, if I just said that to you, you're like, oh, great. All right. If I say I'm going to just be with Jesus, and I'm going to do what Jesus does, and or I'm going to follow Jesus, and I will get to be free. Like, and then their response to the very first thing Jesus says, great, you believe. Here's what it means to believe. Yeah. Here's what you even get if you believe. They say, we're descendants of Abraham. That's when the argument starts. It's not even
that's what I said.
We have never been a slave to anyone. How can you say you'll become free? And then Jesus says, I tell you that everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. And then they're going to argue again. They actually never understood the true nature of who they were and the true nature of who Jesus was.
What it really means to be from Abraham.
Yes. Yes. What that really means to Abraham. And I think we may have a hard time relating to this idea of at least in me, because I don't look back at my heritage in the sense of, you know, like from Irish or from, you know, half my family's from is Irish. The other half's Germany. You know, there's my red beard. And all of that comes with that. I've never looked at that and said, oh, don't you know that? But what are the things in my life? I think this is, if there was one thing that grow groups were willing to wrestle with, what are the things that we might go to as they appeal to Abraham? What do we appeal to?
For justifying we are right.
Yeah, that we're right, or that I'm good, or that I'm a good Christian because of this, or I know that I'm fine because of this, or even if I know I don't do everything right, I'm good because of this. what are our Abrahams?
No, and I agree. That's something I think the grow groups could set right there for as long as they choose to meet that night and talk about that. How do we self-justify? How do we self-determine that we're okay? Because what I believe we do in our flesh, believers, that there are pieces of our life that we self-determine are okay, and oftentimes we self-determine the things that do not stretch us, that do not require the Holy Spirit. So we're doing it in the flesh, and the thing that breaks my heart is that keeps us from the real Jesus.
So let's set some examples. I mean, someone could say, well, I'm a Protestant, or I'm like, what are some of those things that we stake a claim in the ground that we've got it figured out, that we are really God's children?
You know, I think, you know, I think that's probably changed in my life over the years. But I think one that I know I can easily default to is ever since I was 14, I've been in some form of Christian leadership. I was leading worship at 14 in our youth group. I was teaching in a small group or Sunday school when I was 18, 19. I was an intern to student ministries. I was an interim worship pastor at 19. Then I was serving in other churches, leadership roles, teaching or whatever, you know, all the way up till now. And I think it's really easy in my own life to, I can see my sin, right? I see it over here, but it's easy to say, okay, but you know, if I was really that bad, right? Like, these are things I think we can lie to ourselves, really that bad, then I wouldn't be doing this, you know, or God wouldn't bless me with this. And as if somehow it's all determined on me and my goodness, that God's determining how he wants to accomplish his will through me within that. And that's something I know. And again, since that's been me since I was 14. I don't know if I can look back where I wasn't in a situation like that. And it's subconscious. Like, I think I've had to realize that can be something I appeal in my subconscious heart to maybe avoid even wrestling with something the Spirit wants me to wrestle with. So that's a real moment for me, but I think that's something that's always kind of been there.
Well, and I'm wondering if one could be, especially as the world seems to be spinning very different than what Scripture says a believer should look like, it's easy to use our morality, or I don't do X, Y, Z, P, D, Q, so therefore I am saved, you know? So can you think of anything else? And that would be morality, I guess.
Yeah. Well,
did I steal yours, Bill?
I'm sitting here marveling at what you're saying, because David and I were meeting just a few minutes ago before we came in here, and I actually talked about how we use religion. You talked about being a Lutheran and how we use moral superiority. So took my thoughts.
I'm sorry.
Bill throws his mic on the ground and walks out the window.
But, you know, and I think this is the challenge for you, David, on Sunday in the message, is that because many of us sitting in a congregation, I could say all of us sitting in the congregation have some of those things in our life, or has that thing in our life. Yeah. And you have to articulate the truth of this piece of Scripture in a way that they go, I see that in me.
Right.
Because otherwise, it's so part and parcel of who we are. It is so subconscious that we just operate in this world. And we just like you talk about, David, I've always been in a position of leadership.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've kind of been really meditating on third chapter of Philippians where Paul says, I have not yet achieved it. Mm. And talks about pressing on. But part of what he says there is forgetting what lies behind. Mm. And you're just, if I heard you correctly, you're saying, I've got these awards. I've got these evidences. Yeah. So that means today I'm good to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's easy to deceive ourselves with past victories. Mm-hmm. And I think what sometimes also happens in that is that we end up living in a relational life of the past with God instead of a reality of the relational present.
Well, how many times do we ask a question in a girl group looking for a sign that you've seen God in your life, and someone will go back to this really cool story, but it maybe happened a decade or two ago, as opposed to, I mean, that's a check for me. If I'm in a Bible study and I ask those kind of questions And I can't think of something that at least has not happened in the last year, but certainly I should be seeing God on the daily. I'm very challenged. Like, does that make sense at all?
Yeah, and I think one of the things that, and we're going to hit this more in the message, is to do a reality check of the things that, you know, moral superiority or religion, and I think those are absolutely things we fall to as well. It's easy to look and say, well, I'm clearly not doing that big sin over mm-hmm. here, right? Like, man, I'm looking at those Ten Commandments. No one's been murdered on my watch, mm-hmm. right? I haven't stolen anything, mm-hmm. You know, like I haven't beaten anybody. Like, it's just whatever we might want to go with. Mm-hmm. Instead of saying, how am I doing with anger? Mm-hmm. You know, Bill, one of the things your wife brought up, she said, I think that, as she said, we all battle with, and it's become so normal that we don't realize how deep it is, contrary to who Jesus is, selfishness. Mm-hmm. And how much that flows in and out mm-hmm. of. And so to ask the question even, how much am I, in verse, let's see here, I think it's 34, he says, truly I tell you, everyone who commits a sin is a slave to sin. Mm-hmm. And it builds us from last week. Right. When we talk about, are we choosing to live in that darkness? And now he's coming back and saying, OK, all right. So do you recognize, one, that when I'm choosing to live in sin, I have let sin be the mastery? Mm-hmm. But then he goes on and says, but a slave does not have to remain in that household forever, but the son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, then you are really free. And so it's this, I think the Christianity is this really difficult battle for us. I am free if I belong to Jesus. Mm-hmm. I am free if I belong to Jesus. And I want to have confidence and assurance in that, because I want to, and I believe Jesus wants us confidence, mm-hmm. assurance in his work and what he has done on us. And so here we have them relying on something else. But I think we have to look at, say, what are we accepting in our lives? That, coming back to what Jesus said, if you continue in my word, what are the areas of our life that we're choosing to not continue mm-hmm. in the word of Jesus and not continue in the call to be a disciple? And just reading this week, a book I was reading, is that the call of a disciple is very simple and very hard. It's very simple, follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's very hard.
The truth is very straightforward.
Yes, mm-hmm. yeah.
Executing the truth is
very
difficult.
But how many times did someone come and say, Jesus, I want to follow you? Mm-hmm. He says, okay, then go sell everything. Whoa, that's too hard. Mm-hmm. Ah, Jesus, I want to follow you. But just let me go, you know, wait a couple of years and bury my father and deal with all right. that. Mm-hmm. No, you're not worthy. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. The heart of this is, and not only say, like, he's saying to those pushing back on him right now, the very reason you're pushing back on me, not wanting to hear the hard things I am challenging you with, you say you believe, I'm challenging you to say, do you really believe? Because I want you to really believe. Mm-hmm. I want you to love me. I want you to follow me. And your response to my first challenge on your faith, that you're not mm-hmm. maybe as good as you think you are, is to want to kill me. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think what we do, I think we do this in our churches, in our culture today. Mm-hmm. We kill truth we do not want. Mm-hmm. And you know how we do that in church? Let's get really real about that.
We leave churches. We go to another church.
We go to the other church.
Yeah. And I think there was a period of time when I would read these stories and I didn't understand the killing of things. But now that we are in the tension that we are in our world right now, and even the whole cancel culture that we have, these stories feel more vivid to me now. Like, I can envision them happening as we see things being killed in our world. Does that make sense at all? Just the whole.
And I think we're used to of being able to say, well, we know the secular wants to kill the sacred. Mm-hmm. We're used to that narrative. Mm-hmm. But now we get to them, like these guys. These guys weren't the seculars killing the sacred. Mm-hmm. These were those that, in the name of the sacred, were killing off the greater mm-hmm. sacred. Yeah. They were killing off the words of Jesus because he was challenging their comfortability mm-hmm. of saying, I'm a good enough Christian. Yeah. I'm a good enough Jew. I'm a good enough follower of Christ. Mm-hmm. And I think, Bill, you kind of alluded to this earlier, but I've said this before too, the phrase, I am good enough, mm-hmm. is the most destructive thing we could say in our Christian life.
I mean, in all fairness, there are little pendants that say, you are enough. I mean, like, just too much focus on ourselves and not the truth, you know?
And I'm not enough.
Well, there's a piece of truth in that stuff, and that's why it's so deceptive. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a king's kid. Mm-hmm. And what's the danger there?
Yeah. Well, and that's where we have the fullness of Jesus. Let's take that same phraseology right there, because I love that. You're a son of the King. Mm-hmm. You're a daughter of the King, right? And that's something I said that to someone in the past week, okay? Mm-hmm. The way we see Jesus going after this here is, you're a son of the King. So if you're a son of the King, you will continue in my word.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you're a son of the King, you will know the Son, and the Son will set you free.
A lot of it.
Mm-hmm. With every beautiful promise of God, mm-hmm. This is the whole tension of James. Mm-hmm. The whole tension of James is a faith, a belief mm-hmm. that people are saying, that he's challenging to say, mm-hmm. well, you say you have faith. Mm-hmm. So, if you have faith, then you will see.
Right.
Right. So faith without the if then statements, he said, is dead. Mm-hmm. It's not faith. This is what Jesus is coming. All James is doing is probably reading John 8 and going, oh my goodness, man, we got to see how this is really playing out.
Yeah.
And he's like, we got to make sure, because we're seeing this in the life of the church, because they're using their tongue to slander each other. Mm-hmm. They're using their words to attack each other. Mm-hmm. They're actually even like broken relationships and mm-hmm. things that Jesus said, let's go with another one I'm going to get to later in John. If you're really my disciple, it'll be known how. By your what for each other? Mm-hmm. Love. Like Jesus is full of, John is full of these if then statements. Yeah, and we're getting to them right now. I think as a church in our grow groups, to be honest enough to say, we're going to make this tough because we want to really live in the freedom that God has given us. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to just a point of clarity. You know, last week you asked me why this was my favorite story.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we just, our grow group meets on Wednesday night. So we
just
had that conversation. And I said, I'm the woman at the well. Mm-hmm. And we had persons in our grow group that went to the kind of where David was talking about with, man, he put the Pharisees in their place. I like that. Mm-hmm. You know, and just how we all view that differently. But mm-hmm. but my thinking about, I am that woman at the well. Okay, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. Mm-hmm. But in that scripture, he's talking to us. Mm-hmm. He's talking mm-hmm. to you, to us.
Mm-hmm. Right now.
You know, where mm-hmm. those people? And, mm-hmm. and, you know, the Pharisees, they were, their eyes were totally dark. They mm-hmm. they really didn't get it. We get it, but I think in areas of our life, mm-hmm. that's where we were just talking about that with the moral superiority and with mm-hmm. religion and genealogy. You know, we deceive ourselves.
Well, in both groups of people, you've got the Pharisees and the believers. You know, whether they're believers, they're deceived. And so as you guys are talking, I'm like, where are we deceived? And if they didn't have Jesus to show them they were deceived, they weren't helping one another.
Yeah,
they needed.
Well, where am I deceived?
Right, where am I deceived?
Not we.
And it's the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
Where am I deceived? And my no regrets plug.
Oh, here you go.
All right,
go for it.
Who's gonna help me see how I self deceive? My brothers.
Yes, that's where you were going, Tammy.
Well, I was going Holy Spirit.
Oh, so you're going Holy Spirit.
Because
oh, okay.
at the same time, it's kind of the blind leading the blind too.
we have all the pages covered.
Because they were believers together and they were not helping each other see. They needed they needed the Holy Spirit. They needed Jesus. They needed God to show them. So they're not mutually exclusive. We do need our brothers and sisters too, but
So I want to jump
that are
down.
Walking in the Spirit.
Yes.
We need our brothers and sisters that are walking in the Spirit.
Let's jump down to verse, I think it's 42, 47, 38, like as we get kind of in that section. I think verse 47 is one that I think also we could hang out on a little bit. Mm-hmm. And this is what Jesus says. He's summarizing this whole tension. He's wrestling with this. Like, it's after this statement, they're like, you got a demon. Right now they're like really getting mad at him, and he says this
name calling.
The one who's from God listens to God's words. And now remember, Jesus said in verse 31, if you continue in my word, mm-hmm. you're really my disciple. So now he's coming back to this again. The one who is from God listens to my words. This is why you don't listen, because you're not from God. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a really hard thing that we have to wrestle with in the church. Is it is very fair to say, I did not realize. Because sanctification is the process of becoming more and more like God. Mm-hmm. It's the process of recognizing there's sin that God has made me aware of that I was ignorant of. I didn't, like, or maybe I was missing it, but mm-hmm. God's kindness and grace, he's slow to anger. He's bowing in love. And I want to come back to the side of Jesus as well, because I think this is really important. He's slow to anger. He's bowing in love. Romans tells us it's the kindness of God that brings us to this place of repentance, that he's patient with us because he wants us to walk with him. So to come all to that, so when he says, this is why you don't listen, because you're not from God. At some point, we have to acknowledge some, you know, maybe it's our brothers, a spirit, we'll go to a conference, or mm-hmm. we're going to hear something that's hard. Mm-hmm. And to even maybe even have a self-reflection, how am I responding when people come and say, it seems like you're missing God here. Mm-hmm. I love you, but it seems like you're letting this sin have power over you. I love you, but it seems like you are angry and you won't forgive. I love you, but it just seems like every day you're just like spewing hate at somebody. You know, I love you, but you keep coming to me and gossiping. Like, I can't participate in this. Like, how are we going to respond? Because I think one of the evidence of believers will be when it's not that we don't sin. That's not the evidence of believer. I think one of the evidence Jesus is getting to is that we listen to God's word. We listen to the sanctification of the Holy Spirit through him and each other. So when Tammy says, David, I've seen this in you, I say, I need to hear that. Mm-hmm. I think that's an evidence of the Spirit's work in our lives. And if every time someone comes, we're like, I don't want to hear it. No, I'm fine. Like, you guys just don't get it. You guys just don't understand it. I think one of the challenges from the text is to say, we're killing truth, just like they wanted to kill Jesus. And we're saying, this is the hard truth in this teaching, because then Jesus says, well, if you're not listening to me, who are you listening to? You're listening to your father, Satan. He says in verse 38, I speak what I've seen in the presence of the Father. You do what you have heard from your father. And then he says, your father is Satan. Mm-hmm. That's where the teaching of this becomes the hardest thing for us to wrestle through in our groups. And maybe another thing to talk about in our grow groups or in our relationships with others is, hey, Bill, you and I are a grow group. Bill, tell me, how good am I doing at listening when someone's coming challenging?
Yeah, are you brave enough to ask me that question?
Yeah.
And am I brave enough to tell you the answer?
Yeah.
That's... I mean, how much does fear enter into this equation where we're just really mm-hmm. reluctant? And, you know, and I always say, you know, we talked a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about brutal truth versus truth.
Yeah.
That makes a difference how we communicate the truth.
It does. Mm-hmm.
It makes a big difference. And
so speaking the truth in love is what you're, as opposed to with a
absolutely.
Baseball bat.
And even then, it's like, mm-hmm. when's the right time? And it causes, just to be honest, it causes me to not fulfill some of the role that I'm supposed to fulfill as a brother. Mm-hmm. It makes me hesitate.
Okay. And to be careful.
Well, I mean, you started... You know I love you, but like you kind of need to hedge whatever that challenge is in a blanket of love, like in affirmation somehow. Does that make sense? Like you started every sentence. I think you said, "I love you, but," or "I love you, but it seems," or
Well, yeah, and I think you're speaking to all of our own insecurity when we have to go these conversations, because mm-hmm. it's really interesting. If there's one person in the entire scripture, whatever they say, we know was said in love is Jesus. Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to kill him.
Yeah, and they wanted to kill him, right? Like right. He's not like, hey, I love you guys, but just so you know, you listen to Satan. Mm-hmm. Like just so you know, mm-hmm. you know, like, yeah. And so
it seems like you're listening to Satan.
And so there's I think, but yeah, we know God's kindness as well. And so mm-hmm. there's a place in God knowing where we're at, and there's walking life with each other, and there's mm-hmm. willing to, but, you know, I've had friends come and say, I love you very much, I need you to hear this. Mm-hmm. And then I've had friends in my life come and say, you need to hear what I'm about to tell you. Mm-hmm. They didn't. Now, I chose, because of my relationship with them, just like we choose with Jesus, uh-huh. if I know Jesus loves me, I hear in love.
Mm-hmm. But you guys are going to be sick of me, but I always go back to being a mom, because that's what I've done for many years. If my child is going to walk in front of a bus, I'm not going to say, hey, Sammy, I love you. Stop. I'm going to yell, stop. Does that make sense?
I've heard that story before.
That's a good picture.
But there are times where we need to yell stop, because we see the bus is coming, the train is coming, and we love that person enough to snatch them out of the way.
I'm glad I was going to actually say something similar to that.
Okay.
You know, it was this idea, Christ says, I am humble. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there are times we go to people humbly, mm-hmm. and within that delivery, you're at the same time you're acknowledging that you may be wrong. Okay. I may be misreading this, David, but this is what I think I see. That's how. But in this passage, given who the audience is, this is Christ is not taking the he's not being humble here. He knows the truth and he's delivering it to a crowd that needs to hear.
Stop.
And stop. Yes. This is for the Jews is a hard truth because their life is built on that foundation. I am from Abraham. Mm-hmm. And he just said, no, you're not. Mm-hmm.
So I want to, I think, close with this and just more of this concept. And we'll get to this in the sermon, but it's the very end of it. Jesus says, he comes back to this whole thing and he's
what
like,
verse are you
in? It starts in verse 52, but it basically he's saying, and all this is about glorifying me and God. And we just have to recognize the hard things that God is doing in our life is for his glory. Mm-hmm. Because that's what we were called to, is for his glory. We weren't called for our comfort, our validation. We weren't called for our feeling good. You know, like even the gospel itself says, I'm not enough. That's why I need Jesus. Like, you know, all these, you know, cliche things. We are called for God's glory. And so in a community of believers, we wrestle with that sometimes. We're almost like, I want to make sure you feel loved. Actually, what I want to make sure is that God receives glory. And I want to make sure God receives glory. So as I do what I say, the way I say it in love reflects God giving glory.
Well, that believing that we talked about at the beginning, the shallow belief, that's all about me. Mm-hmm.
Yes, there you go.
It's all for what I can receive.
Well, you know, going back to my homeschool nerdy mom thing, we want to be the subject, not the direct object. We don't want God to be the subject.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read this text because this will not be anywhere in the sermon on Sunday, but I want to close with this because if we walk this well, it'll be a hard teaching. Mm-hmm. It will maybe if we get some real with each other, or even if you're not in a grow group and you're listening to this, or you're not even part of Bethany, but you come across this podcast, you're like, whoa, we have some hard conversations. We sometimes struggle with those. And this is from, I actually shared this with two people today, this morning. I came across this and was encouraging them from 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And I was actually affirming someone like, thank you for being willing to grieve me. And what Paul says, he's like, I know I grieved you with my letter when I rebuked you. It starts in verse 8. I'm going to summarize this. He says, but I rejoice not just because you were grieved, but because your grief led to repentance. Mm. This is godly sorrow. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, that godly grief was a godly hurt. Mm-hmm. It felt like it's a godly punch. You know, whatever you want to say, like it hurts. But he says, for you were grieved as God willed it. Mm-hmm. Like to say, whoa, that hurt, that must have not been from God. Back up a little bit, right?
Exactly.
For you are grieved as God willed it so that you didn't experience any more loss. For godly grief produces repentance that leads to salvation without regret. But worldly grief just produces death. Mm-hmm. So when it's done by the Spirit of God, when we're done, when we're willing to just go to God's word and I'm willing to receive from you, Bill, everything I want to also share with you. Mm-hmm. And that's this mutual relationship. I think that's what's happening here. Jesus was like, all right, let me teach you. And they're like, we don't want to hear from you. Just leave us alone. We just want to say we believe and we're good. Mm-hmm. That's not Christian community. It's not healthy. Yeah. It's not the point of our fellowships together. Mm-hmm. It's to give God glory by being willing to have these tough conversations, challenge each other so that we walk, truly continue, abide, and walk in the light and walk in his word together as followers of Christ.
Mm, that's good. Well, we need to end. I could keep doing this forever. Yeah. I think part of what I love is I'm hoping that this is setting an example of how fun it is to dig and to have these conversations with brothers and sisters. And so my challenge to you all before we close is next week we will be in John chapter 9. And actually, Tyler Fisher, our elder, will be delivering that message. So go ahead and read it before, because I know when Bill says 4 verses, 2 pages of notes, as I dig, as I study, it helps. Mm-hmm. It helps so much. So thank you for joining us and read chapter 9. Bye.